Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. And this particular episode, we are going to be diving into Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse biopic film. And look, I know a lot of people who say, Lee, this is definitely not something you review in the past or your type of style. And trust me, I fully get that. Because, you know, usually we usually review superhero flicks, action films, comedies, horrors, and music biopics. I don't think we've actually done one since I've started the podcast, so this would be the very first one. Now look, this film is about the life, the music, the tragedy that is Amy Winehouse. Now this film, there's been a lot of talk of an Amy Winehouse film biopic for many years, ever since her death back in 2011. There's been several attempts, you know, to get off the ground, but Studio Canal were able to get the rights, make the deal, and this go into production, and what a film we got. Now, this film only goes for 122 minutes, so it's not too long, it's not too short, it's just enough. Now, this is the first time I'll be reviewing a biopic artist film. The last one I saw was the Queen one, which was fantastic. That was brilliant. And I think between the Queen one, the Elton John Rocketman one, I feel like there's been a little bit more surge in these biopic films for musicians and going back and giving not a retelling or a more spectacle of retelling of their careers through their eyes. Now, I would like to say thank you very much to Studio Canal, who invited me to the early screening of this film. And when I got the ticket for it, well, when they said, you know, would you like to go? I thought, you know, this is something very different. And I thought, you know what? I will. I'll go watch it. You know, I can honestly tell you, I'm not a big fan of Amy Winehouse's music. Her music isn't my type of music. I'm more like AC/DC, Metallica, and Alice Cooper style. But I still wanted to watch the film altogether. And I brought my partner along as well to go watch this film. And probably the best thing about this film, the absolute standout, the absolute MVP of this film is Marissa Abella. She does a fantastic job as playing Amy Winehouse. Her singing, her mannerisms, everything. She knew the mission, she knew the task at hand, and she nailed it. So, it, you know, depending if you're really love her Amy Winehouse's music, a film critic, you know, because this film has had a little bit of a divide between critics on having 2 stars to 4 stars. And I get that. It can be a very delicate process bringing a famous artist's story to light. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. And of course, you know, someone who's just watching the film compared to someone who's in love with the music and, you know, may know more about her story that's close, it can always be very decisive. And the same thing happened with the Queen one too. It was a whole lot that wasn't in the film about Freddie Mercury's career. Not to mention the timeline actually doesn't add up, doesn't actually go in order in the film either. So that is, has its own critics as well. So this film, of course, is going to have its own. Now, when we're introduced to Amy and Marissa playing a character, we're introduced to her family. We understand where her music and love come from her nan, her dad. And we're introduced to her family at the very start, which leads straight into Nick and her longtime friend and getting signed with Island Records for her very first album. Now, this film really shows how all of her albums, you know, I know a lot of people say, you know, my music is my journey, it's my life, but you can really feel that sense in this film that with Amy that her music really was her life, her journey. And she says that in the film, she says, you know, after her first album goes nuts and gets that big commercial success, as all the records imagine record players do, companies do, they always go back and go, look, we need to change something on you. We don't like this. You know, you got to be a little bit more like Whitney. You got to be a little bit more like Britney. And I'm sorry I sound like Dr. Seuss. I didn't mean for that to sound like that. So, and they go, and they say to her, you know, you need to have that more of that stage presence. Which, as you can imagine, that goes down like a lead balloon, where she does say, you know, I need to live my life, live my music, to make my music. Which leads to us meeting her iconic love of Blake, meets him, gets involved with him, which unfortunately aggravates her his cocaine addiction, her drug addiction, alcohol, and bulimia, and that all goes right up, intensifies. Which gets to the point where they break up, they take some space apart, because of everything's going on. Because of that breakup, that leads to her going to New York, and that leads her to making Back to Black, which is her most iconic album, 5 Grammy Awards, 16 million copies. This album is essentially the framework of this entire film, which is why it's called Back in Black. Back in Black. Back to Black. God, as soon as I walked into the premiere, I was like, oh, that was really good, Back in Black. And my partner was looking at me going, no. I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm just so used to saying it. You know, and there's so many good Black albums out there between AC/DC, Michael Jackson, and Amy Winehouse. You know, if you're a music star, you need to have a Black album in some type of fashion, because it just really sets everything across. And then when she starts making that album, you see everything exasperate and get worse. Then she goes and, you know, Blake and her rekindle their love. They get married. And, of course, that leads to something going down the track. They break up again. Unfortunately, that gets bad. She starts feeling she starts having blackouts and seizures, which leads to her rehab, which led to her iconic songs of that as well, going about her going into rehab, which unfortunately also then leads to, you know, her getting on a step journey. Paparazzi, as we know, are vultures, evil, and just downright scoundrels and scum of the earth, which, you know, see her in this film attack her again and again and again, every stage of her life, between when she's just trying to walk out of her house, between when her and Blake have a fight, when she gets mobbed in New York. They just eat at her, just all the time. And you unfortunately do hear one paparazzi goes, oh, how do you feel that your ex-husband Blake is happy with his new girlfriend and they're pregnant? Now, Blake and Amy couldn't get pregnant. They tried multiple times, but they unfortunately couldn't have a child together, which, you know, leads to all this. Now, when she found that out, it leads to one more iconic song, and then which leads to the end of the film and a little bit of backstory about everything. You know, how when she died, how she died, when she died at 27, and what's happened since the film. Now, this film does a fantastic job of highlighting all the lows of her life. And due to Marissa's performance, you really feel everything. You feel her hopes, you feel her dreams, you feel the definition of this film, and then the definition of her saying that, you know, she lives through her music and everything. And not to mention, this film, Marissa sang all those lines. So it's not Amy Winehouse singing, Marissa is singing. And she did a fantastic job. You can go listen on Spotify. It's nearly identical. So she's done that singing. It's fantastic. And to see that she went to that level of commitment for it. But, you know, as you're watching it, you just see her journey. So, you know, when people say, you know, when life hits you, you get back up. Life just kept hitting her again and again, between wiping her with her nan, Blake, going to live in New York, her record label, her music, everything happened with that. Her dad, who kind of really invested in her, really loved her, but also lingering the fact that, you know, with everything that happened to her, he's not off scot-free. Just when you're watching it, you're like, you're supporting your daughter, but supporting your daughter in the wrong kind of places between what could happen. And again, that's very bad. So this film encapsulates her life very well. And to me, just watching the film, I think it did a fantastic job. If you were an Amy Winehouse fan, or if you were just a music lover of biopic films, you're going to love this film as well. And I also asked my partner, I was like, what did you think of the film? And she said she really enjoyed it. She really likes Amy Winehouse music. She liked it. She was enjoyable. But she said it's a very surreal feeling finding out what age she died at. Now, she passed away at the age of 27, which is very young. And we all know the curses, the mysterious of what happens when a musician dies at the age of 27, the white lie in the pocket, the list goes on. If you don't know, go have check it up. It's very creepy. Very creepy about the whole thing. But, you know, the entire ensemble cast did a fantastic job. I think they got the message. You know, director Sarah Taylor Johnson, I feel like she really got her message through this entire film. What she wanted to set out, what it looked like. It all looked fantastic. And, you know, I can understand why there's been so many different tries to make a biopic film, because you want to nail it. You want to get it right, which is the same thing that happened with the Queen one. They really wanted to get that right and get the same vision going along. And you can see that. And as I said myself, just watching and seeing how young she died, and she's one of those artists that she died so young, you know, she did her unique voice, her style, her passion, the albums that she pumped out, you know, we might have only seen a quarter of her career of what she was going to fully achieve. And I agree, like, you watch it, and she did pass away due to a broken heart. You know, she was so in love with Blake, who's played by Jack O'Connell, who does a great job. She loved him. Love is blind. And she was so in love with him. She would go to the ends of the earth, tip and jump over the ravine, whatever cliche you want to call it. She would have gone that way to be with Blake, but it just couldn't work out. And she was getting tattooed. She got him tattooed on her body. She also got Daddy's Girl tattooed on her. That's another little point into that. But, you know, she would have done everything for him. And it makes you wonder what happens if he wasn't in her life, what course correction, the major thing that is called what if, which all our minds play on all the time. But, you know, I just say, if you're not an Amy Winehouse fan, if you're just looking for a film, a good biopic film that will give you a little bit of a tearjerker on what's happening, a little bit surreal, and you're just looking for an outstanding performance, I highly recommend this film. And as I said, with runtime of only 122 minutes, you know, it's 2 hours long. It's that nice 2 hours. Not once was I looking at my watch. Not once was I going, oh, when's this going to end? Especially for someone who doesn't like her music or not a fan of her music. I didn't feel that. I was glued all the way into the end. And I even said to my partner, I'm like, it's just tragic on what's happened to her. So, and then all the locations, the film, they did fantastic. The setting, that early 2000s vibe was really good. And it just makes you hate paparazzis so much more. And you know, there's a long list of what those vultures have done to celebrities and caused issues so much. But a rising star in the UK, it's just a major what if of what she would have done if she was still alive today. But Back to Black has my approval, and I highly recommend you go watch it. But look, if you have seen it, what did you think of the film? What did you like? What didn't you like? Did you like that it was through her point of view, or would you rather like a retelling of someone narrating her life? And I know that's a little bit different for everyone, because some people like to go through the person's eyes or be narrated in that perspective. This entire film is through her journey, her perspective, her music. That is the bottom line for this entire film, and it's an absolute winner. So if you're looking for a Saturday night flick, or if you're looking for something different to go to the theatres, I recommend to go watch this. You've got my thumbs up. And look, that's my review of Back to Black. please let me know what you think of the comments in the comments. And as always, until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.